This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
For the New Orleans Saints,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's going to be fun for the Saints fans to watch.
Taysom's going to keep it off the sideline. Touchdown!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They're just going to go like from Flacco to Lamar.
Looking downfield, he's going to tuck it and run at the 10, the 5. Touchdown! Taysom Hill!
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King. Coming up, 76ers President of Basketball Operations, Daryl Morey. Plus, 9-year NFL veteran, Spice Adams. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Rich Eisen Show. A great chat with Peter King. Spice Adams is going to be joining us. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this show. It's a Monday after an NFL Sunday, so overreaction Monday's coming up. Chris Brockman has a whole bunch of takes, hot takes, cold takes, takes in general to throw past me to see if I think it's an overreaction or not, right? That's coming
up. Yeah, buddy, it's coming up.
Okay, I do have 2 cents on the benching of Tua and then the sticking with Carson Wentz. That's coming up here on the show. Chris Brockman also is monitoring all the news that's popping, certainly on the injury front. Big Monday night game coming up as well, between the Los Angeles Rams visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have had issues performing up to snuff on nationally televised night games. So that'll be getting right in front of us tonight on the Worldwide Leader in Sports. Big weekend as well in the NBA free agency game. I sing this man's praises all the time because he's one of my favorite guests. He's also good people. TJ Jefferson, you were one of those oddly constructed Clipper / Sixer fans because you adopted the Clippers here because your East Coast values forbade you essentially to root for the Lakers.
Can't do it.
But you're a diehard Sixer fan from your days in Altoona, right?
Yes, indeed.
I basically have set it all up. So this man is now in charge essentially of all basketball operations for the Philadelphia 76ers, former general manager of the Houston Rockets, good friend of the program, Daryl Morey, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Oh, come on, man. All the time. Anytime. You know that. Is it true you just came back from picking up Dwight Howard at the airport, Daryl? Is that true?
That is accurate. Yeah, that was awesome. Reunited, man.
Okay, so just in general, pre-pandemic, are you one of those people that picks people up at airports, friends? Is that's in your nature, right? Are you one of those people?
Yeah, it's a nice touch. It's a nice touch. So, yeah, Elton, Brandon, and I went out to greet him, especially because we worked together for 3 years. So,
right.
You know, had a nice conference final run with him, so... it's good to get a champion, a recent champion. It's pretty cool.
Now, obviously, you are what we would call an insider, since you're the guy who's making these deals. But for all of us taking all of this in on Twitter, he tweeted out that he was going back to the Lakers and then deleted it. What was your end of things on that front, Daryl?
Might be better to ask him, but it seemed like there was some miscommunication, which, you know, unfortunately can happen in free agency. There was none from us, though. We were trying to get him to come here the whole time, and I think there was some miscommunication on a higher dollar situation with them, and but we're happy it worked out with us.
So when you was that one of those things where somebody on your team or just showed you a phone and said, "Hey, Dwight says he's going to the Lakers," and you were kind of calling somebody up to say, "Is this true?" I mean, what was that from your end of things?
Well, we were in constant conversations with the agent, we just checked in with the agent and made sure that the report was true, and he said no, that was not true. So different things happen in free agency. There are deals canceled, there are trades canceled, so it gets a little wild and hairy during those times. Lots of deals happening, and they're all verbal, and as you saw with some deals in the past where people were trapped in houses, it's still signed on the dotted line. I think free agency can get a little crazy.
Yeah, you're not driving around knocking on doors, huh?
didn't need to. It was nice just with the past relationship with Dwight, and we had always kept it really positive, and the perfect fit. You know, I'm so happy for him. He won his ring last year, and this year, I was about to mention the guy in trade I can't mention, but anyway, we got potentially two champions coming, two recent champions coming. I was really happy for Dwight that he won that ring, and he's looking to do it here in Philly next year.
So are you're referring to somebody that you made a trade, an acquisition,
yeah,
but it's not
official?
Yeah, some of them
aren't official right now. He caught me on a slightly not all official yet.
Well,
yeah,
when does that become official? I know who you're referring to.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a trade down the line. I think it's like December 8th or something like that. Just because of the rules, things take a little longer to unfold.
Okay. But T.J. Jefferson, our Sixer fan who's here, he's talking about Danny Green, okay? It's not somebody that hasn't yet been reported, and I don't want to get this man in any more trouble.
So it's not okay? Anthony Davis, is what
no,
you're
no, stop it. Oh. Stop
T.J.,
it.
I'm glad we have the Sixer fan.
Oh, yes.
Quietly influencing Rich. It's great.
Well, look, I mean, the reported deals then, Horford for Green and Terrence Ferguson and Josh Richardson for Curry, and then obviously
Richardson for Curry I can talk
you
about.
You can talk about. Okay.
You know, yeah, we're real excited for Seth to join the team. Obviously, you know, arguably the best shooter in the NBA, and those are pretty hard to get. And, you know, we were just thrilled, and obviously Doc's son-in-law, which
yes.
is sort of a cool twist, and so just overall a really fun addition with Seth.
Now, in terms of these moves, Daryl, I mean, is this part of what when you were talking to ownership about whether this was a match for you to come aboard, and for them whether you were a match for them, et cetera? Is this all part of like, hey, look, this is what I want to do in terms of trading this guy to get this off the books, and we're going to try and target that guy? Now, obviously, you have to have, you know, the execution of it go your way and so on and so forth. But is this all like part of what you planned coming in, and this is the plan coming together, A-team style in a way?
Yeah, you know, not really. The stuff with the Sixers was a whirlwind after I stepped down, similar to Doc. I mean, Doc and Elton and ownership were, you know, very, it was cool. I mean, they reached out immediately and were aggressive. And, but yeah, because you don't really know what trades are possible when you're, you know, interviewing like 2 days after, you know, a couple days after you step down. It would be very presumptive to know what a roster would need. And you also don't know what trades are coming. So, no, that was really about track record. I had worked with Doc before, obviously had some success in Houston, and that was really more about that than anything planned on the roster.
So when you stepped down, you had no plans to go take another gig anywhere?
I mean, I was hopeful that someone would call, but I thought it was going to take at least a year because, you know, it was so close to the season. You know, usually these kinds of transition happen quite a bit before the draft. You know, the draft was only a few days away, and so I just figured I'd be sitting out at least a year and then evaluating options. So it was pretty cool that you know, a couple NBA teams, NFL team, a baseball team, a couple places reached out. So that was you know, Rich, because you've made transitions. Sometimes you just don't know, right? You know, you hope that there's something out there, but you don't know. So,
okay, Daryl, you had me at NFL team. What are you talking about? An NFL team reached out to you?
Yeah, they did, actually. Yeah, I told them I probably don't know enough. I'll be honest, Rich, you and I have talked about this, that I think the NFL, I mean, it would be very presumptive for me to think I could help an NFL team, but they did reach out, and I just figure my skills are just much higher and better in the NBA, just with the experience and everything. But it was an intriguing idea.
So. Well, for what role? To be a general manager and run a team? That was the role?
Yeah, that would have been it, yeah.
Wow. For an NFL team, did that even make you...
I mean, to be fair to them, they didn't offer it. They just reached out to talk.
Just to see what's going...
They could have met with me, said, that guy's an idiot, and moved
no,
on.
No, I hear you. So, but just to say, hey, maybe you could bring... Now, then let me ask you this. I'm going to totally go off the reservation here on you, Daryl.
Sure.
Since you mentioned a baseball team, what'd you think of the move of the Tampa Bay Rays and Kevin Cash removing Blake Snell? Purely on what appeared to be analytics. What did you think about that maneuver?
I feel like I did work in baseball, so baseball would have been a better fit, although honestly, right. There's so many well-run teams. I was intimidated that I could actually help a baseball team. Last time I worked in baseball was 1996. So I didn't really dive into that. I would say if their plan was to handle things a certain way, and the plan was, and that plan was still relevant so close to winning the title or not. I mean, I generally stick to the plan. I actually had a funny moment here at the Sixers before the draft, the day of the draft, actually, and we had put together our pick list. And one of the staff members here, who I'm getting to know, was like, "So what do you do on draft day? Do you follow your pick list?" And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, do you follow the list that we've put together?" I was like, "What do other people do?" I was like, why do we put all this work into it if we don't follow it?" He's like, "Oh, this team I worked at, we had all that," but then he just ignored it and did whatever on the day. And I'm like, "Yeah, no, that's not going to be what we do." So if that's their plan, they should stick to what got them there. That would be my sense.
Well, I mean, again, and you're a perfect person to ask about this, since you are so closely, tied at the hip about with analytics in the 21st century and how it plays into wins and losses. But the concept of essentially being so married to it that a gut and a feel moment from your management team on the field actually adjudicating the game and your plan that just goes out the window.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, I don't want to oversimplify, but let's say you're in blackjack and you're not counting cards, even though that's the right thing to do, and you just get a gut feel after four drinks that this is going to be the time I need to hit on 16 and hope for a five. Yeah, no, you don't do it. You don't hit. I think if they, Tampa Bay, as far as I know, is one of the best run baseball teams in Major League Baseball. I think that's pretty clear. And if they looked at it and they thought that, that was the right choice, I would be really surprised if they didn't follow it. If they didn't follow their plan, they don't get to the World Series and get criticized. I'd rather get to the World Series, get criticized for following the plan, than deviate from the plan and lose earlier.
Daryl Morey, president of basketball operations of the Philadelphia 76ers, here on the Rich Eisen Show. If I had told you that you would at one point try and finish the process that Sam Hinkie started, what would you have said to me?
I just was not on the list of things I would have guessed would happen. But I'm thrilled. Obviously, we directly or indirectly have Joel and Ben because of that approach, and I'm eternally grateful. Normally, as Rich, it's the coaches who get nailed, and everyone says, "Hey, do this rebuilding and you'll be there at the end." It's usually the coaches who suffer from that. In this case, it was the GM, and I'm here benefiting from it, so I'm pretty happy we have Joel and Ben right now.
Okay, and these are your two guys. Is there any thought at all of breaking these two guys up to bring in maybe a superstar that you think would fit the process better?
No, as I think Sam recently said very well, someone asked him that. He emerged from his groundhog hole to talk. That's every, 3 years Sam emerges to talk. And he said, "Man, we put so much into getting Joel and Ben here. Why would we move on, ever?"
So you think they can play together? Because that's
absolutely.
Why do you think that? How does that work?
Well, I mean, just recent evidence. When you put shooting around Ben and Joel, they were literally the best lineup in the league. And I'm not talking they played 50 minutes together. They were playing thousands of minutes together with shooting, and were the best lineup in the league. Now, of course, we've got to prove that that this group can do it, and that that this group is good enough to win the title. We have to prove that. But for sure, in the past, when you had shooting around those two, it worked very effectively.
How much more should we expect of your additions or subtractions from this roster between now and ball tip on the 22nd of December?
Not much. I mean, again, and I talked about this in my opening presser, that I think, there's some things when you look at the roster, you say maybe we need to do some slightly different things, maybe. But with Doc coaching this group, and he loves it and is comfortable with where we're at, there's just going to be a lot of learning, especially at the start of the season. And if we use our bullets, whether it be our tax mid-level or draft picks, to address what we think the gaps are, you know, we could use our bullets early when is late, when later we're gonna see where the gaps are much more. Yeah, they'll be much clearer, and we'll be able to address them that way. So, yeah, I don't see many changes from here till tip.
Couple of minutes left with Daryl Morey, president of basketball operations of the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's talking purely hypothetical. Let's just say a team that you know, that you used to be part of had two superstar players that you put together on that team, and then after your departure and the coach's departure, they reportedly didn't want to play there anymore. Would that hypothetical situation surprise you in any way, shape, or form, Daryl?
Let's talk about other hypothetical situations, like
Well, I didn't say one of them.
How long until Trump concedes or something?
I didn't want to. You know, say one of them had a long beard or anything like that. You know, I just wanted to just throw that out to you, Daryl.
Yeah, let's talk about what TJ wants to talk about.
All right, you got a question?
I do have a question.
Okay, you always ask good questions before you send Daryl out the door.
Hey, Daryl, how you doing, man? Welcome to Philly.
Hey, what's up, man?
So, question. You are president of basketball ops, and Elton Brand is the GM. I'm just kind of wondering how you two work together and what that synergy is like two positions.
Yeah, so, I mean, the whole group, including Elton and I, just got thrown into the deep end, and hopefully we're doing all right. So that'll evolve over time. But, you know, I think one reason that I think there's now five or six teams, you know, with former Houston Rockets folks running them, I give a lot of responsibility to the people around me, and Elton's going to have a lot of that, and I have a lot of faith in him. And the fact that he wanted to join forces with me is still something I'll always remember. And, you know, it's great. I'm excited. So, you know, he's going to be doing a lot of the calls, a lot of the analysis, and we're going to be working together with, you know, he actually brought in a couple other guys that are really strong, and Prosper and Peter Dinwiddie. And, you know, it's a strong group. I think I learned pretty quickly this is a group we can work with.
I love Doc too, man.
That's
you
awesome.
Guys got a great setup there, Daryl.
Yeah. Doc as well. Yeah, I think he was talking front office, but yeah, Doc is just a treasure that I get to work with him again.
Top notch people there, man.
You know,
top notch. And Daryl, I'm out here on the West Coast.
Ownership, so. Josh Harris and David Blitzer credit. I mean, they're. You know, they were like, we're doing this, you know, so that's pretty cool.
So, Daryl, I guess, does Elton sit shotgun and you drive to the airport, or how does that work?
Just because I don't drive, you know that, right?
What? I didn't know that. You do not drive, Daryl? Are you serious?
Not really, yeah. Just, I'm on my phone too much, and I'm just too dangerous. So I've decided
for safety first.
I don't drive very much.
Look, you just refuse to be hands-free is basically what you're saying. You just refuse, you know, you're hands-on but hands-free.
I just refuse to endanger people. That's my
You're a good man. Daryl, so, I'm so excited that you're in a great spot. You seem to be in a great spot with some great talent and a fan base that is thirsty, to say the least. So thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Really,
thanks,
truly
Rich.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, TJ. Appreciate
thanks,
the
Daryl.
Time.
You got
thanks.
It. You take care. That's Daryl Morey, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The good man, president of basketball operations, Philadelphia 76ers.
Feel good.
Let me throw some darts at a board. Shit. Let me throw darts at a board. I'm going to throw a dart at the board.
Fire emoji? Should
I get
this ready?
No, I'm going to take a dart. And bullseye. Atlanta Falcons.
You think that was the one?
They fought. My boy Thomas Dimitroff is. Who has a GM opening?
Houston.
Ooh. Huh.
In the plot.
Even after sell his house?
You guys aren't thinking.
Interesting.
Could you imagine? Guy's so smart.
So smart.
But how about that? He just equated not sticking with your analytics in a World Series game in your plan. He equated that to being drunk and playing blackjack and hoping that this is the time the five's going to come out when you got 16.
I know someone who plays like that.
TJ Jefferson?
It annoys Brockman to no end.
It annoys me to no end.
Oh, you better not
play
sit.
By the book.
Don't
sit at my table.
Do not sit at third base
exactly.
at my table. Are you serious? He's like hitting 14s and stuff
in
like
my
that?
Defense, it's just
he's
like,
got a gut feeling, Rich.
It's on 17.
In my defense, it's only like when we used to sit around, when we could actually sit next to each other and play blackjack after
by the
work.
Way, it was for real hypothetical money.
That's why I true. Wanted to ask him. As you know, he's Mr. MIT. He's Mr. Analytics, right. you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's got a plan for everything. He like knows exactly where the toes are compared to the three-point line based in the third quarter of a game that's three possessions.
That's bananas.
You know, like, that's him. So that's why I kind of like, okay, let me ask you the question that was the conversation that was red hot last month, which is Kevin Cash taking his starter out in a game 6 of a World Series just because it was the third time through the lineup, just because it was time to do it based on every single time that they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, yeah, the plan is this. The plan is it usually works. The numbers say it works. The numbers say it is the time to do it, regardless of the situation and how big the game is. And he equated it to being at a blackjack table and drunk and saying, this is the time to go and hit on 16.
Yeah.
Now, he also said, let's just say you're not counting cards, even though that's what you should be doing. I love Daryl Morey.
I love that part. He ended with that, like, even though you should be counting.
You should be Darryl counting cards.
Daryl Morey. God, do I want to go to pandemic's over? We're going. Daryl Morey, let's go to Vegas. Let's go to Vegas.
With Daryl.
And it's some and we'll you can
don't
we can,
tease me with a good
we
time.
We can start looking for Daryl Morey on a mattress on the top of the casino a day later.
Don't tease me with a good time.
Wow. Yeah, man.
I can't wait to go back to
fantastic. Fantastic.
You know, Rich, I wanted to let Daryl know, you know, I'm out here. We only on the show a few hours a day. I got a lot of time and I watch a lot of basketball. If the Sixers need like a West Coast scout, I go look at the Lakers for him. I go look at the Warriors,
hey,
you
man.
Know, the Suns. Drop whatever it. You need, Daryl, I'm going to text you after the show.
All I know is one of the long time scouts of the Boston Celtics was Al Lewis, who played Grandpa Munster. So if Grandpa Munster could be a top-notch scout, TJ. I don't know why TJ Jefferson.
That blew me away when you told me that.
That's a fact. Let's take a break. We'll be back here with your phone calls and then also Overreaction Monday, and also still to come, my take on why Wentz is still in and why Tua was taken out. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. I remember a Thursday night game in Green Bay, had to be 06, 07. And we had a flight to the next game, and NFL Network, I think, splurged for a private aircraft, but it was... It wasn't one of those Learjets. It was one of those that fit like 20 people. And it took a few hours because it was bad weather. We had to sit around and wait before going to the airport. And the hotel is attached to a casino. So we went and played blackjack.
Oh,
me and I think Kara Henderson, Wirtz, Chris Wirtz, producer, and Dion, a couple others.
Oh,
and
baby.
I made all the right decisions at the end of the table. Deion Sanders got up and hugged me and said I was his favorite third baseman of all time outside of Terry Pendleton. As a matter of fact, he nicknamed me Terry Pendleton. We're back here on the radio show.
No, Chris
playing
Sabo?
Blackjack with Deion Sanders. No, nicknamed Terry Pendleton because I played such a great hot corner on the blackjack table.
Shout out to Bob Horner.
I mean,
former Brave
the third
baseman.
Baseman at the blackjack table is so important.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, sir. Who would you rather not have at a table? Who pisses you off more?
Great. Let's go.
At a table in a
Blackjack?
Vegas. Hold on
or
a second.
Just anything.
Somebody like him who will just hit willy-nilly.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll just go, you know, I'll 16, just go 14, 15, 13, even though you're not supposed to. Let the dealer get the 10 and
exactly.
bust so we all get paid.
I can't worry about you.
Or the don't pass line person at your craps table. Who's worse?
This guy. If you don't play, if you don't play properly, though, we all lose. And then so their reason is like, oh, well, I got a six, so I won. Yes, but that would have went to the dealer, and they would have busted, and we all would have won.
No, so in other words, it's bad for the community at the table.
Right.
But as you know, craps in a casino where I don't go during the season.
No.
Pre-pandemic.
Of course not.
That it's all about karma, the juju, the feeling.
Craps table is important to have
that
mojo going.
Who is the biggest destroyer of mojo than somebody saying, everybody at this table that wants to win under the same circumstances, I'm going opposite of that, and I'm going to make money at your expense. I will be the only person here out of all 15 of you that is not cheering. For the same thing. So it is similar.
I get it.
But in blackjack, even though obviously it's all luck and randomness, although Daryl Morey will tell you differently about the card game.
You can skew it in your favor.
Right?
But the thing about that craps guy is they're not usually there the whole time. They're kind of just in and out picking their spots.
But that's worse.
But this guy sitting at the table for like 2 or 3 hours playing like a jagoff.
Who's worse, though?
Is worse.
That person, by the way, it's not a guy. It could be
anybody.
Human.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll just come in and play like that and leave, and then we'll all just stare at each other.
Ruins the whole
count. That is worse.
Look, guys, if there's one thing the past few months have taught us, is that Americans are staggeringly selfish. So, you know, I'm just like everybody else, I guess, on the crap table, on the blackjack table. I'm worried about myself and not anyone else around me.
Go be selfish somewhere else.
Like everyone else in America right now.
Let's take some phone calls before getting to Overreaction Monday, shall we? People have been waiting for a while. First in, first up, Al in Atlanta is here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, sir?
Hey, Rich. Some good news for you, and I just want to preface that with all due respect.
Oh man.
Your Michigan Wolverines make it excruciatingly hard to give you good news. I guess you guys had to wait for my Illinois Fighting Illini to get to 2 wins to be like, well, wait, we can't let those nerds be better than us.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But the good news is, I don't know if you remember, but a couple weeks back, you were professing your love for Product 19.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, yes.
And
I was.
I told you that I knew of a couple of boxes that were still full.
But
Yes.
These were his mom's boxes, right?
These were your...
My mom's.
Right, yes, okay.
Yeah. And you said you would take a box if I could wrestle one away.
Okay.
Was that a true statement? Now, just know that they expired in 2017.
Now, I understand they're not radioactive, but just so I can have a box of Product 19 cereal here in studio, because it is part of not only my DNA, but it's also part of the many healthy breakfasts I had as a child. Yes, I would take one but not if it's something so near and dear to your heart, your family's heart. I couldn't.
Oh no! Well, there were two boxes left in the case.
Okay.
And I squirreled them both away, one to send to you.
Okay.
And then one to keep myself. That hopefully.
Yes.
When all this pandemic stuff is over, if you're ever in Atlanta, I could get you to sign.
Okay, I would love that, Al. I will take that if you don't mind. Stay on hold what should we do here? Send it to Del Tufo's place, like the Lou Malnati's pizza?
Absolutely.
Okay. Al, stay on hold. Adam's going to take your information, or you could actually direct message the at Rich Eisen Show, right?
DM the show account.
DM the show.
We'll hit you back.
Okay.
Oh, man, it's going to. All right, I'll figure that out.
Or you could send both boxes. I'll sign one and send it back. I don't know the next time I'll be in Atlanta. How about that? Did you just hang up?
No.
He just did that. Oh, my gosh.
There's something happening with the phones. He's still on.
Okay, very good. You can hang up.
I got him on.
All right, very good. Let's go to Brian in California. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Rich, first let me say happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
And first time, long time. I just want to say, about last week you mentioned if it was tougher being a Jets fan or being a Charger fan. die hard San Diego Chargers fan. I refuse to call them that other city.
Sure.
Oh, man. We did everything we could in our power to give you that game yesterday. And, I mean, I can't get hyped that we beat y'all. I can't.
Well, first of all, hold on a second. Let me take this one step at a time. You did know who you were dealing with yesterday, right? I mean, across the there's no worse situation than the Jets. And the Chargers did their best to try and give that game away. Jets refused to take it from various aspects of it, from Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl MVP, throwing a pass that would have him benched in Pony Ball, right? And on top of it, the Jets lead the league in dumbassery for unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. I'll tell you this. I've never seen this, which I saw yesterday. An unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on an illegal hit on a quarterback who had not only finished his slide, but was getting up from the slide. He slid in front of the Jet who hit him as he was getting up. Hadn't seen that one before. And I will tell you this. We're using the new photograph of Justin Herbert. God bless our boys at home doing this show, and Mike Hoskins and Sean Mitchell. We're using the photograph of Justin Herbert looking like one of the kids from Stand By Me. You've got the offensive player of the year, Justin. You've got him. The rookie of the year. The offensive rookie of the year. You've got him. He is the real deal. Oh, my gosh. Is he the real deal? So be happy. I'm hoping my team loses the next six in order to actually get the quarterback that I want. So I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Call back anytime soon. But we saw yesterday between the Chargers and the Jets, the awful mojo juju that the Chargers have can't close games. And I thought maybe the Jets would be the subject of their largesse once again. Undercutting the caper that we have put together to actually be now six games away. So close every week. So close. Now six games away from the Trevor Lawrence pick. But this kid, Justin Herbert's the real deal. And I'll just say this. All you Chargers fans, you've seen it all. I know you've seen it all. No, you have not seen all of it. Never had a shot to go 0-16, Chargers fans, but the Jets do now. Did you hear how Adam Gase had given up the play calling? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
And yet, during the game, I'm watching it. Rich Gannon's like, sure looks like Adam Gase is calling the plays. No. Adam Gase said after the game, no, I'm not calling the plays. I have handed off to Coach Loggins. I've handed off to him the ability to call the plays. He's calling the plays. He's just relaying it to me, and I'm the one relaying it to the quarterback.
Wait, so the play caller is telling Adam
yes.
the play, and then he's telling
He's basically saying
Flacco?
It's play 24. He knows what play 24 is on the list. He's the one calling the relaying it into the quarterback, and also as his want as the HC, vetoing it if right. he wishes to.
Oh, God.
That's the way the Jets are putting the plays in. And I will say this. I know they're trying really hard. I do. This gives me no pleasure.
Well,
it really
Frank
does not.
Gore has said that he doesn't want to go out like this. 0-16.
And he doesn't deserve it. None of the Jets do. None of them do. I'll say this. Joe Douglas, directly to you, sir. General manager of the Jets, directly to you. Let me help you out. The shoulder injury for Sam Darnold is concerning. Let's use that phrase. It's concerning. I'm basically going to tell him how to do this. The injury is concerning. And out of an abundance of caution, we are keeping Sam Darnold out to make sure that he's healthy for 2021. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't see Darnold back in the game ever again. It's Flacco's job rest of the way. We're too damn close. Too close. Darnold's going to try hard and make some plays. No, we don't need that anymore. You've stuck with the coach. Stick with Flacco. he's got the right stuff to get us to where we've got to go. The right stuff. Okay, so again, it's concerning, but can't say it's so concerning that other teams will get scared off of acquiring Sam Darnold. It's concerning, but out of an abundance of caution, we need to make sure he's healthy for 2021. Doesn't mean he's got to be healthy for us, just healthy for 2021. That's the plan. Rest of the way. And let the relay race of coach to coach to quarterback, don't touch that, working like a charm. And then definitely let Greg Williams just keep on saying, hit him. Hit them when they're sliding. Hit them when they're getting up from sliding. Hit them. Just keep hitting them. Too close. That was too close for comfort yesterday, sir.
Yeah, of course. Rich, I don't want to alarm you, but I saw a mock draft this morning that had Justin Fields number one.
Who is this person? Who is this person who had this? Who is this person? I need to know this person's name.
I don't want to out them.
Who is this person? Who is this person? Who is this person? I demand to know the identity of this person. Now.
Rich, I have a feeling it's someone that
cough
you know and like.
Cough it up. Cough it up. I demand to know. I need to know the identity of this person right now, and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to throw the break. I will literally go on a hunger strike until I find out this name.
The season is not over.
Who is it?
I believe it was our friend Matt Miller at Bleacher Report.
Is his take the fact that Trevor is not going to come? I mean, what's his?
No, he has Trevor number two to Jacksonville.
Got it. Ooh. Hey, man, ask every Ohio State fan about his performance against Indiana. Okay, so the Heisman's out the window based on what we saw from Fields against Indiana. But number one overall is still in the mix because Trevor Lawrence is not better than Justin Fields. Is that what this? Okay. I would say bring me Matt Miller, but I need to take a break because I didn't expect to go down that wormhole. I was prepared to, though. I'll be prepared to. 844-204-RICH, Overreaction Monday when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. By the way, that was a proper reaction I just had.
I'm proud of you.
What's the matter, Matt Miller? Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Okay, Overreaction Monday coming up, and we'll get to that in a second. Hey, man, take a look. Bayside is back. A Peacock original, Saved by the Bell, everybody.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Starting on the 25th, Bayside is back with new students, new stories, and some very familiar faces. Start streaming this Wednesday. Elizabeth Berkley and Mario Lopez there, huh?
Fantastic.
Very good.
Okay, wait, Rich, before we back. I spoke incorrectly. It wasn't Matt Miller. It was Dalton Miller.
Okay.
From Pro Football Network.
Okay.
As Justin Fields number one.
Okay.
Just wanted to correct the record. Oh. Sorry.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt Miller's fine.
Matt Miller's fine. This guy, Dalton Miller.
Dalton Miller.
Has Justin Fields number one.
Okay, yeah. Needs to have his head examined.
Yeah.
I will say that. I will say that right now. You imagine the Jets take Fields over Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah. I can't.
I could imagine
that. I actually can imagine.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. For our radio audience that just rejoined us, it's Dalton Miller. It's not Matt Miller, correct?
Not Matt Miller. Very good. Dalton Miller. Dalton Miller. Justin Fields number one.
Very good.
In a mock draft from today.
Before we get to Overreaction Monday, I want to hit on two subject matters that I'm sure you would have had in there so you can remove them as well.
Yeah, let me.
The benching of Tua in favor of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then the benching. The non-benching of Carson Wentz, as Philadelphia now is 3-6-1 with Carson Wentz, and Jalen Hurts is not even remotely in any part of this conversation for Doug Peterson. First up, Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins. Yesterday, Tua took 6 sacks and had a mere, let me get this number correct, he had a mere 83 yards passing on 11 of 20 throwing. With 11 minutes left, he took him out and put Ryan Fitzpatrick back in. Fitz moved him right down the field through an interception in the end zone, came close to completing the comeback that Flores was hoping for, but instead it was a loss, and now the conversation afterwards about why'd you do it and what are you going to do with Tua? This is what Flores had to say after the game.
No, Tua wasn't injured. We just felt like it was the best move at that point in the game. We had to get in a two-minute mode, and we just felt like he gave us the best chance to win the game.
Do you leave this game needing to make any wholesale changes at the quarterback position? Do you think Fitz going to be in line to be a starter? Or
no changes.
Now, here's the deal. I can't go that this guy is, you know, going to be the greatest coach on the Belichick family tree, as I hot-taked weeks ago. But I do believe that he has been terrific, and he's got his finger on the pulse of everything. And I can't go from there to, boy, he's clueless. But a decision like this is rife with problems. It's rife with problems if the locker room is split, if the locker room doesn't want to be split and wants him to just choose one, and that's the problem. I don't think the problem is going to be Tua. I mean, Tua doesn't strike me as having a thin skin and a fragile ego. You can after being, you know, a quarterback for Nick Saban, I believe. That's one thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm just hopeful this isn't one of those defensive coach doesn't really care about how an offense really works. I don't think it's one of those. We've seen that before. I don't think he's one of those guys. But it's a defensive coach mentality that I know for a fact a lot of players in this league do appreciate. Because I worked with Marshall Faulk and also with Warren Sapp. I work with Michael Irvin. I work with a ton of players who would say, how come the quarterback position isn't treated like a defensive back that can't make a play or a wide receiver that has the drops? It's not your day. You're out. You're still the guy, but we're putting the other guy in. Let's see how it plays out. I don't think, again, that Tua's going to crumble from it, but how many times can you go to this well? Do you toggle back and forth? Good news for the Dolphins and Brian Flores is the next game's against the Jets. So everybody gets good. It literally is the panacea. So I think Tua's going to go and have a good game against the Jets, and this won't be a conversation. We'll see what happens down the line. Keep an eye on it is basically what I'm saying. I'm not going to sit here and say terrible move or
right.
I understand it. I understand it if he's got full grasp of the locker room. We'll see what happens. Now then, here was Doug Peterson after another dreadful day by Carson Wentz where he's missing throws or he's holding on to the ball too long. It definitely isn't working up front. The offensive line is a lot to blame to it and as well. I mean, the run game has just disappeared sometimes. But Wentz is way off. And he was asked again, what about Jalen Hurts? This was his response.
If you get to that spot, whether you don't start him or you bench him, I think you're sending the wrong message to your football team that the season's over. And that's a bad message. You know, we have to work through this. Times, you know, when times get tough, it's, you know, sometimes that might be the easy thing to do. This business is about work. This business is about, you know, detailing, having ownership, things I talk about with the team. And that's what we got to do. That's coaches and players. That's not one guy. You know, it's bigger. This sport's bigger than one guy. And we all have a hand in it and we all have to fix it.
Okay, Mike Del Tufo, can you hit the what were they really thinking?
What were they really thinking?
All right, this is what Doug Peterson was really thinking but couldn't say. Hey, okay. Folks, do you know that Wentz is on the cap for $18 million this year, even though he's got a base salary of $1 million, and that skyrockets next year? Do you know that his cap number for 2021 is $34.6 million? Do you know his cap number in 2022 is a little bit less than that at $31 million, but at 2023 it's $36 million? Do you know he's got $107 guaranteed dollars coming his way right now? Are you aware of all that? Are you aware that the first time we could kind of get out of all this without it totally destroying our cap is June 1 of before the 2022 season? Are you aware of that? They're in it on Wentz, people. It's all about dollars and cents in my mind. And in order to make it work, they're all in on Carson Wentz. I don't know the last time we saw somebody get signed to a long-term deal this size. We've rarely seen anybody sign a deal this size. This is basically going to be the baseline of the worst possible scenario of signing a guy long-term, and he just loses it, and the rest of the team around him loses it, and the coach will not make a move because it's got to work. And you know who I feel for? I feel for Jalen Hurts. To come out here and hear a coach say that going to you would be a signal to the rest of the team that it's over in a division that you lead at 3-6-1. To hear a coach say it's about work and ownership of the moment and details, you're Jalen Hurts raising your hand saying, I could do that. I work hard. I'm detail-oriented. I can own situations even when it doesn't benefit me. I feel for him, man. He had a coach in college who benched him. Who benched him as the starter when he had done everything for the franchise. Kind of like Wentz. Benched him in the biggest game, period, for the new kid. Because he's won championships there before, the coach, and his positioning is solid. I'm going to go with the other kid, even though a lot of people are going to be wondering, what's the matter with me as the player and what's the matter with the coach and the situation? It worked against him. Now he's the Tua here, raising his hand saying, what about me? And he's got a coach who drafts him in the second round after everything he's been through in Alabama and then goes to Oklahoma and does what he does there. He gets drafted in the second round, and his coach the first year is like, got to stick with the other kid. I'm not going with the new guy, because that would be an indication that the rest of the team would take as being done. Now, I'll give Peterson obviously the same benefit of the doubt I'm giving Brian Flores. Maybe he knows his locker room. Maybe he knows that what Hurts is showing in the meeting room and in the practice snaps that he does get. He has not shown the ability to get started right now, and he knows he would be a sitting duck behind this offensive line, even if with his ability to run, like Wentz has as well. He might know his team better than all of us, but I just feel for Hurts to hear, yeah, if we go to you, I'm telling the rest of the team, we're done. And you've been in a situation where you've been the vet who has got all that time in at your program, and you get benched for the new kid, and now he's got a shot in the pros, and he can't be the new kid in this situation because the vet won't be benched. Man, I feel for him. I feel for him. Let's get to Overreaction Monday here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, let's frolic through these, Christopher.
Yeah, let's frolic. We got a few here. Let's start with last night's game between Oakland and Kansas City. The Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes is MVP.
I believe so. I believe so. Who can bring it like this offensively to the point where on days where the defense has trouble stopping people like we saw last night, just overcome it. No, we'll just win a shootout this time. And the Chiefs defense, as you know, has got a bunch of playmakers on where it'll be their night too. And on those nights, look out. Look out. So I agree, Chris. That is not an overreaction.
Let's go to New Orleans. Taysom Hill's first start, got a W. He is going to be the Saints starting quarterback in 2021.
Let's pump the brakes on that one right now. Let's pump the brakes on that one.
Pump the brakes?
On that he's going to be the Saints starting quarterback in 2021?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Breeze might not retire. How about that?
Okay.
How about that as a little wild card?
That's a hot take.
And then two, let's just see what he does in Denver. Let's see what he does in Atlanta. Let's see how the team does fare when Breeze comes back, because he will, and he will take this team deep into the playoffs because they are that good. But clearly it's been Peyton's plan to give him a shot. He told him he would. He's now a man of his word to Taysom Hill. And now he's going to give him two more games. We'll see how it can go against the Denver team that you just saw what they did against a guy in his fourth career start with a ton more experience at the position than Taysom Hill's had. Professionally, even professionally. Taysom Hill is still a baby as a starting quarterback in this league. We'll see what Denver does there. So I'll just say for the moment that That's still an overreaction.
We wondered how he was going to look, though. Threw it nice, 18 of 23, 233 yards. Added in 51 rush yards, which we knew he could do, two touchdowns. So
I just think it's amazing that a head coach of the one seed in a conference in week 11 is like, let's just use this blood sport rivalry game as a little bit of a laboratory and see what we got here for the future. But yeah. Like I said, Michael Thomas got 100 yards. Kamara scored.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, best game of the year.
He ran two in. He threw one, a beautiful deep ball to Emmanuel Sanders for a touchdown that got called back. So far, so good. But down the road, I'll pump the brakes on that for the moment.
All right, next AFC East here. I had a great outfit planned. I had plaid shorts, yes, and suspenders and bow ties and white dress shirts. Alas, to no avail. The Patriots guy is going to finish under 500 for the first time since 2000.
Man. So they're 4-6 through 10, right? That means that they've got to go. They've got to win four of their final six in order to be 500.
Yeah.
New England's got to win four out of these six games. Let's check it out right now. Four out of the six games. Home for Arizona, at the Chargers, at the Rams, at Miami. Three in a row. Home for Buffalo against the Jets. They're under 500. Yeah, 7-9 it looks like right there.
7-9.
It's all right, man.
What a bummer.
Like I said, when Brady announced he was going, welcome to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Welcome to the rest of us.
Not very fun. I'm not enjoying watching football on Sundays.
I got it. I got it.
Had a lot more fun the last few years.
Yeah. That I think 3-3 right there would be a good thing to sign for right now. Well, at least that last one's going to be a win because the Jets, I mean, if they're 0-15 going in that game, do you think the Patriots would pull all their starters just to give the Jets a win before they leave? To make sure that they don't get Trevor Lawrence? Wouldn't that be a fascinating Week 17 scenario? The Patriots tank Week 17.
I think Bill would absolutely do that. There's no franchise that Bill hates more than the New York Jets.
Bill Belichick, before the 0-15 Jets visit New England, he announces, I want to see what I have in Brian Hoyer.
Well, Stidham gets the start.
No. Stidham doesn't get the start. He wants Hoyer to see what he's got in Brian Hoyer one last time. Still doesn't know.
I don't even know what an audio drop is.
Thank you very much.
Just to stick it to the Jets, so Jacksonville will get the
first
pick. We
have weeks to workshop this one, but I think we've struck on something interesting here. What else?
A couple more real quick. Ravens are going to miss the playoffs.
I don't think that's an overreaction right now. I don't think that's an overreaction. And again, it's just been a dreadful month for them that announced here on Monday that they had several players test positive for COVID-19. They have to shut the facility in a short week game on Thanksgiving night on NBC against the undefeated Steelers that, as of this conversation right now, is still going to happen, according to all the reports from my colleagues in NFL Network. I think it's 6-5 that you're looking at Thanksgiving night. Certainly, if this game's played, you got to take on the undefeated Steelers out of their own facility.
Oof.
I don't think that's an overreaction. You got one more we could
sneak last in one real quick. Andy Dalton, TJ, has the Cowboys back sniffing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. CeeDee Lamb looked alive all of a sudden, and Zeke had his first 100-yard rushing game. Big comeback win for Andy Dalton in Minnesota.
Running the table, like I said.
Running the table. That's an overreaction, that's but in the mix,
sniffing it.
No doubt about it.
I don't have the patience.
Hey, but at least you can claim Skip Bayless is one of your own, dancing like Donald Trump in a Zeke jersey.
I don't know who that is.
At least you got him on your side.
I don't know who that is.
Hour 3, Spice Adams coming up here on the radio network. We're still here on Peacock. I mean, whose shot is that? Is like his wife? Like Skip's like, hey, you know, let me put on a Zeke jersey and just dance around.
Hey, honey, record.
I didn't see that, but I'm glad I didn't.
It's difficult to unsee. That wound up in my timeline last night.
Thank God. I haven't seen it then. I won't look for it.
The Screamin' Eight put out a video today. You guys love
it. He put one out last night.
Did he? Okay.
Yelling at all the Cowboys fans who were telling him that they're going to the Super Bowl now and how much he despises all of
them. Ain't no Cowboys fans saying that, Stephen.
What do you mean? You just said they're running the table.
That don't mean we're going to the Super Bowl. It means I think we can beat the Washington football team again in Week 17. That's all that means.
By the way, running the table means 9-7. You're aware of that, right?
I can count a little bit, yeah. You know,
he can come
settle down. Just
I don't fear
bit.
Anyone else on that schedule.
Wait,
except
the
for
the Giants won a Super Bowl at 9-7 twice.
Yeah.
I think
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what's not going to happen. And that's the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl, but we can still win this division.
Don't forget, you win that division, it looks like you welcome Tom Brady and the Buccaneers into your house.
Let them come.
Wild card weekend. Let them come.
Wipe your feet before you step in our house.
By the way.
Wipe your feet before you step in our house.
Wow.
All right?
That is the pro,
Tostitos, baby.
That's the pro football version of bring on Alabama. We want Alabama.
We want Bama.
You know.
Like Bone Crusher, we ain't never scared. You understand?
Brother from another is at the top of the next hour that starts with a Spice Adams conversation, your phone calls, and Chris Brockman's news update. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.